Hallelujah. So last week I started talking on faith, and I only got a little bit into it. So I wanted to go to part two. Is that okay? Can we keep on going? So just to kind of recap, last week we were talking about what faith is, how it comes to pass. You know, we talked about how we have to hear the word and we have to do it. We have to be obedient. That's how faith works. Hear what you're supposed to do, do it, and God will bring the increase. It's not go move a mountain. It's tell this mountain to move, believing it will, and then the mountain will move. Okay? So that's what we kind of talked about. Hallelujah. We talked about how it doesn't waver. Or how it shouldn't waver. Let me put it that way. Each of us has to control our own faith. And, you know, just like Peter walking on water, he stepped out of the boat. He was actually on the water, and he was actually walking on the water towards Jesus. I mean, just that alone blows my mind. I can't even imagine what it was like. Was it like shifting ground because the waves were, you know, you just don't know, but he was on the water. That's incredible. And then he saw the waves, and he wavered a little bit. He says, oh, ye of little faith. But he was walking on water. How can you say little faith? Well, it failed. It failed. Not necessarily little faith, but weak. He had some, but he allowed it to waver. Don't let your faith waver. And so, today, part two, we want to start looking at something. It's called faith is action. Okay? Now, we just talked about this a little bit, but if we go to James chapter 2 and verse 20, I think a lot of us know this scripture already. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is what? Dead. If we aren't going to step into our position and do what God has asked us to, then he won't use it. And our faith will not be exercised. It requires action. It is very important that it is translated into action. If we go to Matthew chapter 9, this is a good example of what we were looking at. And it says, then behold, he brought to him a paralytic man lying in the bed. How many know this parable? There's these four guys carrying this guy around on a pallet, and they want to get him to because they know Jesus is going to heal. He's a healer. And so instead of just sitting on the outskirts, not being able to, they fought their way to the house and literally dug the roof open to drop this man through the roof. And so when they brought him to Jesus, when Jesus saw their faith wasn't seen as some amorphous aura around them. It wasn't seen as something that was just in their heart or in their mind. It was through an action that they saw faith. Okay? It has to be something that is going to be seen, not just a belief in our hearts. Okay? Faith has to have an action, but also, I want to add this to it, it has to have a diligence. What is faith? Perseverance, perseverance, perseverance. It's continually going. Don't stop. And then it also warns us in James chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If we are hearing what we are supposed to do and just sitting and expecting God to do everything, we aren't doing. And to think that we're going to see something happen, it literally just told us we're deceiving ourselves. So if God has given us a specific command, are we doing it? Go into all the world, the Bible says, the Great Commission. If nothing else, this is what God has for us. Are we in our daily lives and routines stopping and saying, God, is there somebody I need to talk to? Or just seeing an opportunity of talking about God? And are we stepping into that boldness and saying, hey, do you know Jesus? Or hey, can I pray for you? Or, hey, good morning, God bless you. It might be as simple as that, but are we stepping into that? That basic thing, that fundamental, is just a starting point for our faith. Do we believe God and His Spirit working through us is going to bring about the change? Well, what if I What ifs will kill you. Remember when we started this thing, I told you, faith will scare the pants off you, but it will never let you down. It will probably feel awkward. Okay? In fact, the next point in this series, it actually says, is doing what I don't feel like doing hypocrisy? Question mark. Well, yeah, if you're worried about you. But what does the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, not seek ye first what you want to do. Deceitful action is hypocrisy. Obedient action is faith. I'm betting a lot of times in the Christian life, and me included in this, we have a tendency to make excuses why we shouldn't do what God has asked us to do. Well, it's really hard. Well, it feels awkward. Well, it's probably going to feel awkward and hard because it's going to not be based on our strength and our understanding. But how many know that a lot of times the situation we are looking at, we don't understand what's going on? You know, how many have ever people watched? Anybody ever do that? And you sit there, and you're sitting in the mall, and you're watching people walk by, and you're trying to understand, just by looking at them, what their lifestyle is like. Just by how they walk, how their actions, how they're talking to somebody else or dealing with their kids. You try and anybody ever done that? I was a salesman, and the first thing we were taught is don't ever judge a book by its. Okay? Let me give you an example of this. When I was selling cars, and selling cars, as selling anything, in the Christian life, selling is actually kind of witnessing. Believe it or not, it is kind of witnessing. We're selling something we believe in, right? So instead of having to sell used cars that you have no idea, this should be a lot easier, right? Because we have faith, right? It's building up. It's important. But I had somebody walk in. They had a 4 different color fender, old beat up Ford Taurus. And I thought, oh, great. We called them, forgive the terminology again, this was when I was in the car business, we called them scabs. Because chances are they weren't going to be able to get financed. They weren't going to be able to get a car. They were just hoping and praying that they could get into a new vehicle. A newer vehicle. And they were trying anything and everything. And so you would have to go through the credit process and everything. Nobody else wanted them. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go out there and talk to them. What have I got to lose? There's nobody else here. I'm just going to go and be friendly and see what they want. I didn't so much as get good day out of my mouth. They said, we want the best vehicle for the best price used. What do you got? I said, well, you just give me a second. I'll go find out. And I literally went into the boss and I said, if you had to sell a car for the best vehicle for the best price, what would you sell somebody? He gave me the name of a car. We went out and looked at it. They walked away paying cash. Mm-hmm. It's not important what it looks like. We don't understand the situation. Amen. That week, I sold probably 3 or 4 what we called laydowns. They didn't fight for the price. They just took it. Don't know why. But so many times it's because we want to think we understand the situation before we even get into it. And that will stop our faith from being able to be activated. How many times do we say, well, you know, she's fighting with a crying child. Or maybe I shouldn't bother her right now. Or, you know, maybe that's the time she really needs somebody to talk to. Or he. God forbid we try and support those dads out there. But we need to support him whenever we see him, because sometimes in the church and in the world, we are missing dads. So when you see a dad you can support, you do it. That's my suggestion. But anyway, off that topic. We are so many times going to not feel like doing what God has asked us to do. But that's because it's not us, our flesh, that wants to do it. It's God. Are we allowing him to interrupt? And I will get in more into depth with that. And I want to look at another scripture just talking about this, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, notice it doesn't say if you feel good about it. Notice it doesn't say if you feel like you can do this on your own. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. He wasn't looking at how it's going to feel. You know, Pastor James' friend, a good friend of ours, See what I did there? Mm-hmm. He said something very meaningful to me. He says, ministry is spelled W-O-R-K. It's spelled work. And if anybody, and if any man understands what that means, is him. He's pretty much lame. He's in constant pain from a motorcycle accident or three and several surgeries. He has a hard time walking. But he goes out and he sets up those one-ton inflatables. And he blows everybody else out of the water. I can't hardly keep up with him. I'm exhausted by the end of the day. But he loves doing it so much and doing what God has called him to do. He won't stop. And he knows it's not him. He's like, if it was just me, I would be dead on my feet. I would be laying down somewhere in the grass. I would not be able to do it. I know God is doing this through me. And he just gives God all the glory. But it's spelled work. And how do we get to that point? How do we get from seeing and trying to excuse to seeing and saying, okay, it's not me, it's God, I'm going. The bridge between willing and obedient is death to self. What did I say when we started? Faith cannot be used unless we start with humility. Understanding that it will not be us that brings the change. I myself cannot move a mountain. Now you give me enough sticks of dynamite, I might be able to reduce it to rubble. But God can move that mountain. I just have to be willing to speak into it with that little grain and exercise that little grain till it grows into a tree. And to the point where, you know what? God's going to bring the difference. I'm this much. I need this much. God, you've got to fill in this much. But I'm going to be at least this much because you asked me to be. Okay? It has to come down to you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Get used to it. Okay, good. Hallelujah. There's another part of it. Faith cannot come through actions of fear. I want to show you an example. This is 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. Just to give you a little background, they're fighting. God has given Saul a commandment. Samuel said, hey, I need you to do this and such at such and such a time, and you need to wait for me. Don't go ahead. Don't do what you need me to be there. Wait. And Saul, seeing what's going on, is afraid of the people. He's afraid of the enemy. And he's worried about what he's going to look like. And so he goes ahead and disobeys. What does it say? Then Samuel said, "Has the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better to obey than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Uh-oh. "And stubbornness as the iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king." Woo! So you're telling me that if I walk in fear and worry about everything else, I could walk myself right out of my anointing? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're walking away from your power. You're literally walking away from the authority of God and worrying about yourself. Like I said, the difference between willing and obedient is death to self. In and of ourselves, if we were just in our own minds not having that seed of faith and not growing it, we would not be able to do anything, and we would only be in fear, anxiety, worry, because we can't do it ourselves. What God wants us to do will not be done simply by the works of our own hands. Amen? All right. That being said, so we have action. What does that produce? More faith. And what does faith do? It pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Faith is going to come from diligently seeking him. Are we spending that time? Are we seeking him? That is so important. And let's go to another one. Romans 14, verse 13. I'm getting ahead of myself. Verse 23, sorry. Not 13. My listesticness is coming in. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, but he who does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, I'm not saying you should try and eat poison, but I'm saying you should not be worried about it if God has called us not to worry about it. Pray over it, thank it, and consume. Okay? It comes down to this. Are we following our conviction? Not condemnation. Are we following our conviction? Because he's talking about a lot of stuff in the scriptures before this. But do we have faith to hear the Spirit of God, to follow it with discernment and sensitivity? Because it's going to require that. Faith requires hearing the voice of God. If you're not hearing the voice of God, how can you step out in faith? You can do the basics. But how can you truly step out? It's going to be important. Our victory. Now, we've pleased God. We're already fighting from a place of victory. But our victory over the world and our success as a believer is held by faith. It's not, oh, I'm here. God, you can take a break. That's a bad idea. Just throwing it out there. Hey, God, I got this. I see it happening, coming out badly. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It is through our faith that we can stand. You know, how many remember the shield of faith, to stop the fiery darts? You know, it's good to have the armor and have the sword. But how many know it's really good to have that shield of faith in front of you? Because, well, I like redundancy myself, but it kind of covers the chinks in the armor. You know, how many have their little faults? And it gives us a chance to realize that, hey, I'm standing in the Word of God, and I'm standing in the armor. But I know that I have weaknesses here and there, but if I continue to exercise my faith, I can cover that. God will cover that and take care of it. And he will help me to get better. But that faith is so important to make sure that we don't get struck down. Amen? Amen. All right. You still with me? Okay, I got two. Here's a little bit of a warning. It is possible for our faith to be weak. How many remember hearing, O ye of little faith? And he's talking to his disciples, these 12 guys that dropped everything. Whatever they were doing, whether it was fishing, whatever, whether it was taxes, whatever, they dropped everything to follow Jesus. Okay? Not worrying about money, not worrying about food or clothes. They said, okay, he said go, so sayonara, I'm going with this guy. I mean, honestly, if a carpenter walked up to you and says, hey, follow me, how many know it's a little bit more different in our culture, but I'm going to have a hard time saying, see you later, Lighthouse Electric, and I'm going here. I'm dropping my security, and already they're stepping out in some pretty decent faith just by leaving their occupation. And he's telling them who have weathered the storm, who have seen the 5,000 fed, who have done all these things, O ye of little faith. I have some work to do. If they have a little bit of faith, I got to get past this seed thing. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Hallelujah. It's watering the earth. I don't have to water the tomatoes. They're good tomatoes, though. Anyway, God's faith. God's faithful. We just got to work on us being faithful. Hallelujah. If you want some examples, I'm going to give you some examples anyway. Matthew chapter 17, verse 15 through 20. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is epileptic and suffers severely. for he often falls into the fire. How many remember this story? And into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now, these are the guys that were already kind of doing this stuff. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation. He's saying this to his disciples. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to him privately and said, hey, why couldn't we do it? How come? Then Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. They had somehow grown weak in their faith. It's possible for anybody, especially if it's possible for those guys who are following around the Messiah. How much more should we be diligently making sure that we are digging into diligence and faith and seeking the Word of God and seeking His truth to make sure that we're bolstering it and growing it? Speaking of growing it, that's the next part. You like the segue? It's nice and smooth. The big bump in the middle. How does faith grow? Luke chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. How does it grow? And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. How many want to increase your faith? Anybody? All right, we got everybody with their hands up. That's good. So here we go. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, is that? It is. So, it starts with a seed. So what happens to a seed? First, it has to go where? Into the soil. Once it's in the soil, what has to happen? It has to die. Now, I'm not saying faith needs to die. But during the germination process, a sprout comes, and believe it or not, the other parts of the seed around it help to nutrient that sprout. Our flesh needs to die. It needs to be taken away. And that seed of faith can then sprout. So first thing we need is good soil, right? I mean, we all have heard the parable, but the sower went out to the field and he sowed his seed. And there was good soil, good turned up, really good soil. There was hard, rocky ground. There were weeds. And there was birds. So what kind of soil are we building our faith in? Are we tending our garden? How many remember that sermon I gave you a few weeks ago? Are we tending our garden and plucking the weeds, getting rid of those things that would choke it? Are we protecting it? Are we turning away the distractions? Whenever I hear the birds, I think of the thoughts, our own thinking. That is one of the toughest battlegrounds in the Christian life, is taking care of the thoughts. Making sure that, you know, the birds might fly over our head, but don't allow it to roost and build a nest in your hair. Are we taking care of the thoughts? But another good point of the good soil is it has to be disturbed. Are we allowing God to disturb the soil? And he does it in such wonderful ways. Oh, we're going to love this part. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. I'm kind of jumping around a little bit, Matt. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Attitude check.
Praise the Lord.
All right, we'll keep working on it. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, we remember what Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope. It will build our faith. God is going to use situations around us to build our faith. Tribulation works for us if we let it. I always try and say a problem is an opportunity for God to show his hand strong. And we get a promise from that. And that promise can be found in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. There's also another one where it says, hey, you aren't going to eat. You aren't going to be able to sustain yourself. Only in building our faith and allowing it to grow will we be able to sustain our Christian walk with God. Will we really truly be able to chase after the high calling of God? It will only come through us allowing our faith to grow. And that means doing the work, allowing ourselves to be uncomfortable, allowing interruption, dealing with the tribulation, whatever it might be, whatever problems gets thrown in our way, allowing God to help us grow. That is the only way we are going to receive the high calling of God. It doesn't sound so easy now, does it? That's okay. It's not supposed to be. Because God won't be able to get any glory if there's no us getting out of the way. If there's no impossibility, what do we need God for anyway? Just saying. God's got to be there. So you need good soil. Allow it to be tilled up. You need water. Very important. We're getting some right now. Thank you, Jesus. We need water. Water comes from the Word of God, and it comes from being in the presence and being in the Holy Spirit, allowing that to develop in our system. The Word of God. Ephesians 5, verse 26. That he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God will cleanse, will help. David said, I have put your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I meditate in your word day and night. If we're having problems with keeping our focus, maybe we need to dig into the word more. Maybe we need to study more. Maybe we need to kind of let it, you know, build in us. We need to. Hold the maybe. And then by the Holy Spirit, John chapter 7, verses 38 through 39. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. We cannot have rivers of living water flowing out of us until we are filled with water. The Holy Spirit. First, we must be filled, then the river will flow. And that can't happen if we aren't getting into the Spirit, if we aren't praying in tongues, if we aren't seeking after the presence of God. We can't flow with the river of the Spirit. Got to have the Holy Spirit. So we've got soil, good soil, tilled up, disturbed. Then we have water. Now, everybody ready for this one? Fertilizer. Usually comes from something that has died and decomposed. Also, how many know that just because we were baptized in water doesn't mean we still don't have to fight the flesh? How many know that old man wants to keep coming up out of the water? He wants to get out of that watery coffin and try and come back. How many know we got to keep slamming the lid on his fingers? Keep putting nails in the lid. Only as we die to self can we grow in God. It's going to be a theme throughout this entire thing. Faith can't grow unless we die to self. Humility. Realizing it's not us. We have to die to self. All right? So we've got good soil, water, fertilizer. We also need some sunshine, don't we? How many like the sunshine? I do. God is the light of the world. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. God's presence, fellowship, getting into his presence. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We need to constantly stay in fellowship with God. You know, when we have communion on Sunday, that is just a type and shadow of what we should be doing every single day. God died, the veil was torn, his presence released into the earth so that we could do it every day. So we could have that Adam and Eve experience of walking with him from morning until night. It is so important to get into and receive the presence of God and be in his light. Now comes the hard part.
Well, I thought the manure was the hard part.
Nope.
I thought the tough ground was the hard part.
Yeah, kind of. The good ground being tilled and disturbed. That's kind of the hard part. That's a good hard part. But then there's one thing. If you plant a seed of corn in the ground, does it grow the next night?
No.
We have to wait. Remember that die to self thing? Yeah, it's still coming back to bite us. We have to be patient. We have to wait for God's timing. We have to wait until it's ready. Because if we don't, if the roots haven't gone down deep enough, if things haven't happened the right way, when it does sprout up, what does the Bible say will happen? Burn up and blow away. Or it will be blown over. It will be uprooted. We don't want to be a mushroom. We want to be an oak tree. We don't want to just get kicked out of the way. We want to be around for a good long time. And that requires us waiting. Sometimes that means being hidden. How many know it's really tempting to plant a seed and want to dig at it a little bit and see if there's... Don't do that. That's bad. Don't do that. It doesn't work so well. You got to let it sit. Let it simmer. You know what I'm saying? Get down in the ground. Leave it. And it's going to take some faith to understand that, man, I really hope that comes up. I really hope that sprouts. I mean, anybody that's planted anything can understand that. Man, I planted that seed 3 days ago and I still don't see a sprout. I must have died. I'll just try again. No, let it sit. Let it sit. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. This comes down to God said, if you sow, you will reap. That is a promise of God. Whether or not it's to the good or the bad is up to you. But he said, if you do sow, you will reap. Going to happen. Hold your britches. Okay? For he who sows in the flesh will reap in the flesh. Corruption. But who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. It's going to come. It's coming. It's been sown. It's been sown. It's been sown. It's been watered. It's been watered. It's been watered. It's going to come. It's going to come. Okay? Take heart. Another example. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 12. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Now, it didn't say in the notes, but I wanted to look at one word, and that's the word imitate. A lot of times in the Bible, even with the disciples. How many remember Thomas? We talked about him last week. Saw so many amazing things. But when it came time to have faith, he doubted. Now, this is the guy who saw Jesus do the miracles. Okay? Now, we have it a little bit more interesting because we don't have Jesus in the flesh doing miracles all the time. We don't get to see that. But it does promise us that if we keep going and don't falter, it promises us that we will inherit the promises. Through what? Faith and... It's hard, right? This is part of that We got to let it grow. Do you have that in the Amplified, Matt? Notice the Amplified. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patience and endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. That makes it so much more clear, doesn't it? In absolute trust and confidence. That is where our faith needs to get to. I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it. God will make a way where there seems to be no way, because that's what He does. He wants the glory. He gets the glory, not us. And then one more scripture, and then I'll close. Maybe. James chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. This is talking about mature, lacking nothing. If we get to that point where our faith is tied in with that perfect work, the Bible says don't worry about what you will eat, what you will wear, what you will drink. Don't worry about that stuff. First, seek the kingdom of God. Then all these things will... Once we get to that perfect point, that mature point, we will lack nothing. We will receive all those things that should be added on to. Once we get to that point. Amen? Got to let faith grow. Got to let our ground be disturbed. We got to soak. We got to soak. Get into the Word. Get into the presence, whether it's by yourself, with your spouse, with your family member, whatever it takes, get into the presence of God. Praise, worship, get into the Spirit. Allow fertilizer. Die to self. Sunshine. Fellowship with God. Get into the light. Don't allow yourself to sit in darkness. Don't give yourself a chance to just sit with gloomy thoughts and bitterness. You know, the mental hospitals are full of these kinds of people that can't let things go and get away from that bitterness and allow God to do a mighty work in their life. And wait. Are we there yet? Are we there? It's not the destination, it's the journey. I know that's corny. But you know what? It's the Word of God. It really is. I find it interesting. You know, I see different types of people and different types of lifestyles. And I'm not going to pick anything out in particular. But I find that people will try and find happiness in certain things. And they will strive and strive and strive for it. And during that time, they are energetic. They're full of life. They have a plan and a goal. Once they reach it, all of a sudden that happiness is gone. Why? Because once they finally have it, they realize it doesn't fill the hole in their life. But let me tell you something. When it comes to our walk in Christ, we will always have something to strive for. It doesn't matter if this church goes from 10 people to 10,000 people. There will always be a goal in mind. There will always be somebody who needs to hear the Word, somebody who needs to be discipled, somebody who needs to grow. There will always be something more for our faith to have to dig into. You know, I listened to, Snuggerdoggin, Redding, California. Bethel. I listened to Bill and Eric and Chris Velotin. And these guys, I mean, they have a huge giant church. And it's not because they're doing something that's pretty. They're not doing it because they're just giving the inspirational message. They get into the nitty-gritty stuff. They don't mess around. But they are always, even when you're hearing them preach, They are always digging deeper. They are always dealing with things. You know, as a small church, we don't have growing pains. They have growing pains, and they are constantly saying, God, how do we deal with this? How do we deal with that? And you constantly hear them just giving wisdom and growing in their faith. You know, when you hear them preaching, you can hear them preaching to themselves. That's how you know a good preacher. He's preaching to himself. He's not just saying this for people's own interest. He's saying it for his own because he's realizing, I need more faith. I need more faith. I need to let it grow. I have to deal with this stuff. I have to allow it to happen. But it doesn't matter if we have a little bit or a lot. There will always be something that will require our faith. And in doing that, we will constantly have to be digging closer to God. And in doing that, we will constantly be allowing ourselves to be filled with the power and the Spirit of God. And that is where that truly will bring us contentment. Sorry. That one was free.
Good stuff.
That one was free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will renew their strength. And it's waiting upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's not waiting upon what you think should happen. It's not waiting upon your own thoughts and desires. And not trying to see things with your own eyesight and doing things your own way. It's waiting on God. Mm-hmm. That will renew our strength. God will bring the strength. Right. We just have to bring the obedience. Amen?
Amen.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to add that real quick before I forget it. That's good. Yep. Anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that with this faith, we know that your promises are yea and amen. We know that there isn't any question whether or not you're going to fulfill your word. And Lord God, help us, Lord God, to fulfill our part in it. Help us, Lord God, to be in that place where we need to be. Help us, Lord God, to be disturbed, to be interrupted. Help our soil, Lord God, to be disturbed. Help us, Lord God, to deal with those trials and tribulations, but knowing that they're there for a good reason. All things work together for the good of those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that you gave us your word, that you gave us your spirit, Lord God, that we could be in your presence and we could be soaking in that, that out of our bellies could flow rivers of living water, not trickles, not streams, not creeks, but rivers of living water. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the chance, Lord God, to not have to worry about whether we can do it ourselves, but denying to ourselves, we can get a little bit of fertilizer and knowing that you are going to bring the increase. And Lord God, thank you that you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that in you there is no darkness and all those other things can be blown away. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord God, for that patience that has to grow in us. Thank you, Lord God, that change can come, that fruit can grow. Hallelujah. We know that there is a plan and a purpose for this place, and we know, Lord God, that there is a reason you've done the things you've done. And we're not going to question that. We're going to keep moving with it. Tell us what to do, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to be in position to be ready. Hallelujah. And Lord God, even as we go from here today, I pray, Lord God, that you would protect every single person, every single vehicle, every single property, Lord God, put your angels around about them. Lord God, help us to have that hunger and that thirst to dig in more and more into your word, to keep on growing, to keep on building, and to keep on persevering towards that high call. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody said, amen. God bless.